Hello and welcome to Social Media Marketing GPS, a series of American Marketing Association podcasts to help you build a roadmap to social media success. I'm your host, Nancy Pacala, Director of Online Content for the AMA. Today's podcast is the second in a series of podcasts on trends and best practices in social media. Joining me today is our moderator, Toby Bloomberg, President of Bloomberg Marketing and author of a new ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media, One Tweet at a Time, featuring 40 of today's most influential thought leaders in social media. Toby is a recognized speaker on social media, is a frequent presenter at a number of AMA conferences and events, including Social Media Bootcamp and Digital Centered Marketing. She also serves as moderator of the AMA's Interactive Marketing Online Community. Toby's blog, Diva Marketing at divamarketingblog.com, is included in the Forbes list of top 20 marketing and social media blogs by women. You can also follow her on Twitter at TobyDiva. We're also very excited to welcome our special guests for today's podcast, Matt Collier and Wayne Hilbert. Matt Collier is a social media consultant, trainer, and speaker who specializes in helping companies use social media to better connect with their customers. His motto is, don't focus on the tools, focus on the connections that the tools help facilitate. His social media home base is the Viral Garden, which in 3 years' time, Matt has grown into an influential marketing and social media blog with a monthly readership of over 200,000. He is also a frequent contributor to the website Marketing Profs, as well as the marketing blog Daily Fix and small business blog Search Engine Guide. His thoughts and writings have been referenced in several mainstream publications and websites, including the Washington Post, MSNBC.com, Ad Age, CNET, and the Boston Globe. He is also a requested speaker and has presented at some of the top social media conferences and events, including South by Southwest Interactive, Marketing Profs Digital Marketing Mixer, and Small Business Marketing Unleashed. He's also passionate about teaching companies how to use social media sites and more effectively and offers training and seminars privately to companies, in addition to his public speaking schedule. You can find Mac on Twitter at Matt Collier. We also want to welcome Wayne Hilbert, who's an SEO and online marketing professional who helps businesses become more visible and profitable on the Internet. Wayne combines proven search engine optimization experience for blogs and websites with enhanced and ethical website marketing tactics. Wayne has helped many businesses achieve vastly improved search engine rankings and gain greater Internet revenue and profits from their websites. His articles on SEO, public relations, social media, ethics, and marketing have appeared on well-known SEO and Internet marketing sites, including SEO Chat and WebPro News. His articles have appeared on many other blogs and websites all over the Internet. He's in demand as an SEO and marketing consultant and speaker. His advice on business blogs is sought by leading companies worldwide. He also hosts the weekly Internet radio program, Blog Business Success, on blogtalkradio.com. He is also a noted reviewer of business, economics, and other books, and you can find Wayne on Twitter at Wayne Hilbert. Toby, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Nancy. I am especially excited that the series will give us an opportunity to explore some of the aspects of social media that are not frequently discussed. For instance, in Chapter 4 of our book, Wayne and Mac offered their insights about a topic that to some people may sound a little bit like an oxymoron, and that's ethics and social media. However, when you think about it, in a digital world where we cannot literally look someone in the eye or shake their hand, ethics really lay the foundation for building trust. So I want to also welcome Wayne and Mac. Thanks for joining me in exploring this very important issue of ethics and social media. In keeping with the short form of a book based on tweets, we're going to try to hold our conversation to about 14 minutes. And we'll begin each of these podcasts with a few tweets from our guest interviews and my chapter introductions. And then we'll expand into a deeper conversation. So I'll begin and kick it off with my tweet introduction. And then Wayne, would you pick it up? And then Mac? Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, here we go. The time is always right to do what is right. Martin Luther King, Jr. How do you build trust when global relationships are often made without benefit of seeing eye to eye becomes a critical issue? When can you portray yourself as your alter ego or fantasy avatar? Does that shake the reality of people who do business with you? How do you define virtual civility, kindness, and politeness when idea and ideals differ widely? What happens when people disagree? With each new tool that technology brings, the virtual world is challenged with what it means to be a good online business citizen. How is disclosure and transparency defined? Does accepting client contacts or contracts to write posts or tweets walk in the shadows? How can we, as online marketers, ensure that our customers feel safe? Wayne?
Social media users often struggle with ethics because many see social media as different from other media. It's not. Ethics are the key to social media success. Sharing matters. Social media isn't about getting, it's about giving and helping others. Those using social media just to get from others also fail at social media. Social media is about trust, and trust must be earned. Once it's lost, trust is hard to recover. In social media, there may be no second chance to recover it. A social media user who speaks through a character must be upfront about the proxy voice. Personas are often confusing, and they can lose trust. Seeing social media as something to game or to spam fails because no one will listen, as there is no trust or listening first. Bad ethics fails. Approaching social media as a numbers game fails when there's no engagement. Chasing numbers alone is a dead end. On social media, bad ethics fail. Social media ethics, like all ethics, are not just some personal interpretation. That shallow short-term thinking failed Enron, and it failed AIG, and it fails on social media, too. As I said, social media is about trust, and trust must be earned. Social media users will often struggle with ethics, as I said, but social media is no different from other media. Ethics are the key. And you're over to Mac.
Yeah, I think a big reason why there is such confusion around the ethics of social media right now is because the space is still new and businesses are trying to figure out how to monetize their efforts, and that is leading to a discovery of where the lines are when it comes to ethics and social media. For example, ghostwriting is a hot topic in social media, and some people say ghostwriting a blog post is fine because other types of business communications are ghostwritten. But the expectations of the blog's readers might be different. They might expect the post to be written by the person that signed their name to it. And as the space continues to evolve and as monetization becomes clearer, I think ethical issues should more easily sort themselves out.
Well, thank you. And I enjoyed hearing your voices. It gives us another dimension. So not only are we tweeting, but we're also listening. And that's part of what social media is all about. What constitutes ethical behavior, as Matt indicated in his tweets, may not be easily defined as we might think it. So let me toss out this question. Are there shades of gray when we look at social media and ethics? And if there are, what are they? Anybody take it?
I don't believe there are shades of gray in social media because all you have is the trust that you can create from what you write and what you say and what you show on your avatar. And as a result of that, if you are shading it or pretending to be someone else or even pretending to be an organization that you're not, then all trust is lost. And people prefer to do business with those who they know, like, and trust. And if you remove those factors from your social media world by trying to shade into gray areas, you will not succeed. I don't think there's a gray area for social media. I think you have to be white hat all the way.
Mac?
Well, yeah, I think one thing that companies really need to keep in mind is that social media tools, they aren't marketing tools. I mean, these are content creation tools and communication tools. So I think that what a lot of companies are doing, they're seeing this as a new potential marketing channel and just assuming that marketing rules apply. And like going back to the example of ghostwriting, they assume that, well, we ghostwrite some of our other business communications, so why can't we ghostwrite any content that we create via social media tools? And again, I think that that's why companies, they need to wrap their heads around this is a tool that their customers are primarily using to communicate with each other, to create content, to share that content. And if they then want to use it as a marketing tool, they're going to have to adapt their usage to the audience that they're trying to reach. And that's where the ethical issues can come into play. They need to realize that, you know, what you do in a marketing situation isn't always going to completely jive with what you need to do via social media. So you need to adapt your usage to the people you're trying to reach and how they're using it.
That brings us to a natural question. Let's pick up on the ghostwriting. So frequently, especially on Twitter and in Facebook, sometimes on blogs, I notice that it's the brand that is present, and I never see people behind the brand. What's your philosophy on how brands should position themselves on Twitter? Should it be a person? Should it be an icon brand? What do you think? And is that ghostwriting?
Well, no, if I can jump in first, I think it can be both. I mean, you look at someone like Scott Monty he's got his picture on his avatar, but he's also got a Ford logo. Now, granted, he was a known person before he started working at Ford, so that may not be a perfect example, but I think that you can find ways to incorporate both. I know there's a lot of Twitter profiles that will say, like, for example, from this company, and then in the profile information, it will say that this account is managed by Stephanie, or Stephanie is on board right now, or something like that. So I think that, I don't think it just needs to be just the logo there. There needs to be some indication that, yes, there's a real person running this. This is who that person is. And ideally, I would like to see a real face. I mean, if they want to incorporate the logo somehow into the avatar, that's fine. But I think that companies need to think about putting the actual human behind the account, at least give them as much space as the logo, if not more.
And since social media is all about conversation and building relationships and building trust, it's much easier to build a relationship with a real person who has a real face and a name as opposed to the quote-unquote faceless corporation. It's so much more beneficial to the organization to put real people front and center and have them create real conversations than it is to just simply have a logo so that it's more where it looks like it's more like a press release or a media statement than an actual person having a real conversation.
And what are your thoughts about having an agency or a copywriter write somebody's tweets or put up Facebook status pages? Is that part of an ethical behavior, or am I really going in and talking those shades of gray now?
Well, I think if the intention is to have, for example, an agency handle the presence from now on, I think that needs to be disclosed. But I think even going past the ethics from a business standpoint, I think if the company is wanting somebody else to handle the presence, that they need to think about ways, okay, what's the long-term plan here? Is this agency, consultant, whatever, are they going to handle this from now on, or is this going to be something where eventually we need to take ownership? So I think that strictly from the ethical standpoint, I think it's definitely better if you do make it known that the agency or whoever or somebody else or a non-employee is handling this. Because the thing about it is, if the page gets popular enough anyway, somebody's going to find out. And then if they do, it then becomes a bugaboo that you've got to deal with. Well, why didn't you guys disclose this? So, I mean, it makes, just from a strictly common sense perspective, I think it makes more sense just to go ahead and disclose that up front. Because if you don't, you're probably going to have to deal with it later anyway.
Yeah, and what I always say is, whoever holds the conversation really holds the relationship. And you don't want to give up the relationship to a third party. At least I wouldn't want to.
Once the third party's created the conversation, is now theirs, and they are the ones that have the relationship, and that's no longer you, and you no longer have even a voice in the conversation.
That's right. And to Mac's point, if people find out that they're talking to somebody other than who they assume they are from the brand's point of view, what does that do to the credibility and goodwill of the organization? And I think the new word for this call, Mac, is going to be bugaboo. We'll have a bugaboo on our hands. I like that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Wayne made a great point, because then if you're wanting if you're wanting the conversation to be about your company and about your customers and interacting with them, well, then when you suddenly enter in the conversation, something about, well, wait a minute, why didn't you disclose this? Then the conversation becomes, it goes into an area where you don't want it to go. So, I mean, yeah, that's one of those things that's easy to just head that off at the pass and before. It's not even an issue, and then you don't have to worry about it later on down the road.
One last question. How should companies begin to step into ethics within the digital world? What would you tell them to put into place?
Well, I think they need to, before they ever get started, especially if this is something that they're going to actually invest some time in, they need to create a social media policy for their company. Their employees need to know, okay, is it okay for us to use social media, in what context, who can speak for the company, who cannot, if there's a problem, how is that addressed, are we empowered to respond immediately, or do we need to hand this off? There needs to be some type of guidelines in place so that the people that are going to be using social media, especially the ones that are going to be speaking on the company's behalf, they know what the rules are in place to guide their efforts.
Wayne, your thoughts?
And it's also good to have the goals of what the social media plan is all about. Is the goal to create conversation and a relationship with customers? If so, well, that's a very solid way to build that knowing, liking, and trust factor. But if it's simply to, we're going to send out our marketing message to everyone and anyone, well, then that's not really a goal that should be part of the social media process. That's just simply more or less just being a glorified spammer. So I would recommend, as Max says, that you create a policy where everyone knows what they're supposed to do and what they can and cannot do, and who's going to be the voice, or if you're going to be like perhaps Zappos, where everyone can be the voice and is empowered to speak, well, that's also a very good way to go, as long as everyone knows that their role is to create conversation, relationships, provide service for the customer, provide answers, to provide assistance to others, to give more than to ask, then you've got a basis for a solid social media program.
And that's exactly where you began our conversation, Wayne, that social media really is giving more than you're asking or giving more than you're taking. And so let me give something back to our listeners. Would you please tell them where they can find you online? Wayne?
I'm at blogbusinessworld.blogspot.com.
And Twitter?
And I'm at Wayne Hurlburt, WayneHurlburt.
And Mac?
Best place to find me probably be Mac Collier, MacCollier, and on Twitter at Mac Collier.
Excellent. And I think if one of the things that we've learned from this conversation is there's a lot more to go into. And with that, let me toss it back to Nancy.
Thank you, Toby. These are really great insights and great advice for our listeners today. We've been talking to Toby Bloomberg, Matt Collier, and Wayne Hurlburt. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA Social Media Marketing GPS podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts in the social media series by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. Make sure you sign up for the RSS feed on Marketing Power so you're aware of all the podcast series available to you. You can download Toby Bloomberg's ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media One Tweet at a Time, by visiting divamarketingblog.com or the Social Media Podcast Series page on Marketing Power at marketingpower.com/social media. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Pacala. Thanks so much for joining us.